In the name of God, the Creator, Liberator, and Sustainer of the universe. Amen. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, our Gospel reading for today, in a conversation with Philip, Jesus promises Philip and all of the disciples that they will not be left alone, that they shall receive the Holy Spirit. In our first reading this morning from the second chapter of the book of Acts, a book written by St. Luke, Luke tells us that on this day, the Spirit was given as a gift. Today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the day on which the Church received the divine presence as a gift. Pentecost is a Sunday that is associated with wind, Spirit, great Hebrew and Greek words such as ruach, pneuma, but also with fire, with speaking in different languages and understanding them, and being made one out of a vast number. In the Christian liturgical year, there are three major feast days. There is Christmas, there is Easter, and there is Pentecost. Not too long ago, I read a magazine article that said there are Christmas cards, there are Easter cards, but the writer had never seen a Pentecost card. And the writer was wondering if that was because the Christian community no longer took Pentecost so seriously. Well, it may be that it's just a little harder to domesticate Pentecost, even when Hallmark Card Company is doing it, than it is to domesticate Christmas and Easter. Or it may be that the writer was absolutely correct. Maybe we do not take the Feast of Pentecost as seriously as we take others. But it is critical for us as a people, because the truth is that we are formed by the Spirit, brought into being by the Spirit, and it is critical for us, even those of us who have been referred to, and some of you will remember the title of this book about our communion from the 1960s, referred to, this was the title of the book, God's Frozen People, referring to the Episcopal Church. It is important for those of us in this communion to remember that central to our faith is the call to be Pentecostal. We are all called to be a Spirit-filled Pentecostal people. Luke says in Acts 2 that the disciples were all together in Jerusalem. Now they were coming out of a hard time. They were afraid of many things, including the Roman Empire. They had been locked up in fear. Then they made the decision, at least according to Luke, that they would go celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Now the Feast of Pentecost was a Jewish feast that occurred 50 days after Passover. The word Pentecost is a Greek word for 50th. It was a feast of weeks, Shavuot in Hebrew, that had come to be associated with the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. So Luke tells us that devout Jews from all over the world were there. There were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Cappadocia, Libya, Egypt, Rome, Arabs, all of these people from the known world were there in Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And their liturgies were going as normal, the way they had expected them to go, until an event occurred. And Luke says it was like a mighty wind that blew into this building and it just changed everything. This wind came in and it was as if the whole place was blown apart, set on fire, and there was this enormous transformation that happened. Luke said that among other things, people who had been greatly divided because of language and culture began to understand each other. Very often in modern churches on this day, some liturgists like to read lessons from different languages. May read the epistle in Spanish, the gospel in French, the psalm in Farsi, something like that. But the point in Acts was not that there were different languages. There were different languages. But the primary point was that people understood each other. People understood each other. They were still speaking their language, but they understood what the other person was saying because the Spirit was enabling them to cross frontiers that they had not been able to cross before. And Luke wants you to know that when the Spirit comes, when the Spirit is present, you begin to understand the reality of the other. You begin to understand the reality of the other. The Spirit enables you to understand that other world that you did not understand. The Spirit enables you to cross that boundary and enter into that other culture. There was a great joy that came over this community. As a matter of fact, Luke said that those people who were on the outside looking in thought the disciples were all drunk. I've always thought it was interesting that people said, Peter answered, no, it couldn't be because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Peter said, no, we are not drunk. We're filled with the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. We have been set on fire. And the Spirit came. Isolation was broken down. Fear was overcome. Fear was overcome. They began to think in a new way. You know, the disciples, when they had conversations with Jesus before, you remember what some of those conversations were like? The conversations were like, look, Jesus, we left everything and followed you. What are we going to get? Another conversation is, now Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, who's going to sit on the left hand? Who's going to sit on the right hand? You have the most power, we know, but who's going to be second in command? Me and my brother, how about that? Had those kinds of conversations. Now the conversation changes. Conversation changes. The community begins to focus in a new way. They begin to look outside. They begin to see that God has empowered them to love and serve the world. And they can do this. They can do it empowered by the Spirit. they even began not only to think about other people, but they began to say, we need to live in a new way. We need to share all things in common, they said. We need to form communities in which all are welcome. Medes, Parthians, all are welcome. The Spirit is empowering us. The Spirit is bringing a new community out of great diversity. The early Christian community, empowered by the Holy Spirit, was given a new vision. They came to see that they had to begin to address such questions as, is this community just for Jews? No, it can't be. It's open to everyone, even Gentiles, that's most of us, can be included. Is this community just for people who are from a certain culture or worship God in a certain language? No. This community is open to the whole world. To the whole world. They began to examine their whole lives. What does the Spirit ask of us? Spirit asks of us that we cross frontiers and not be afraid to do that. Spirit asks of us. The Spirit asks of us that we constantly learn to speak in different languages. And they were not just talking about what we call foreign languages. A few years ago, I was working with the Bishop of Costa Rica one summer, and he said that he had received this invitation from the Pentecostal Association of Central America to speak at their gathering, which was going to be in San Jose, Costa Rica. So we arrived there, and there are these like 3,000 Pentecostals. You walk in this huge auditorium, they're all speaking in tongues, praising. And he said to me, you speak. He said, I'm not so good at doing this, he said. But he said, I'll introduce you before you speak. Well, but the thing that interested me the most was, before I spoke, there was this Venezuelan Pentecostal bishop who got up and said, in the Pentecostal community, we speak in every tongue but the tongue of the poor. And he says, if we are going to be witnesses to Jesus Christ in Latin America, the first tongue we should speak in is the tongue of the poor, because most of our people are poor. He said, I don't care how many exotic tongues you speak in. If you cannot speak the language of the poor, you cannot proclaim the gospel of Jesus. We need to be asking ourselves again and again and again, what language do we need to speak? What language do we need to speak? What community have we isolated and said, no, you are not a part of this community? What culture have we set aside and said, no, you can't come in unless you want to become like us? You know, for many years, far too long, the Christian communion and our communion was no exception. The Anglican communion almost always said, if you want to become an Anglican, then you have to become English. Okay? You've got to learn to pray, God save the Queen. And many people in our country love that. But that stands over against the very essence of the message of Pentecost. The gospel is for all people, all cultures. The Spirit also taught the disciples on Pentecost. that every member of the community, every member of the community, had been endowed for mission. If you were baptized, you have been ordained for mission. And it is your job to show forth God's love, God's concern for the world, to show forth God's ongoing liberation of all creation, to show that forth, to let it be known, and the Spirit will be with you and guide you. Some of you may remember that January the 25th, 1959, a very Spirit-filled Pope John the 23rd, announced that he was going to be calling an ecumenical conference. This conference, he said initially, was for all the churches. Then he said, no, it's not for all the churches, it's for all the churches in all the world, he said. Called the Second Vatican Council, which started in 1962. But anyway, in his call, he said a very interesting thing. He said, what we want to do is open the windows of the church so the Spirit can blow in. He said, as a community, we like to be closed off. We just like to come together, close all those windows, and hope that no spirit of change or transformation is going to blow through our sanctuary. But he said, we need that Spirit. We need that wind, he said. We need that fire to move through. The great Anglican writer Evelyn Underhill said the most important work that a Christian individual has, or that a congregation collectively has, is to make sure that every day they are opening their lives to the transforming work of God's Holy Spirit. Because God is not yet through with us. God is leading us in new directions. God has other frontiers that God is calling us to cross. God wants us to become the people who announce God's love for justice, God's love for peace, and God's mercy for all of God's creation. God wants us all to remember that we are all called to be Pentecostal. Let there be peace among us, and let us not be instruments of our own or anyone else's oppression. Amen.